as someone that grew up on a farm and then also went hunting and fishing, being in the woods was just, I mean, that was 90% of it. I mean, that was just walking around in the woods, just being quiet, listening, and just absorbing kind of what the environment's giving you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so different than the hustle and bustle of city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, city is cool, it's nice, and it's fun, but it's a whole different aura, essentially, when you go out, I think, in nature.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch. Thank you for tuning in to this week's Addicted to Fitness podcast. We really appreciate everybody listening and tuning in every week. Also, if you haven't already, please give us a rating and a review in iTunes or SoundCloud or Google Play or iHeartRadio, basically wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, we're pretty much everywhere now.
We are, yeah, and it's because all the great feedback that we've gotten and the consistent great listeners that we come back every week with something new for you all.
Yeah, I think this week we got a text from our friend Nikki saying she's listening to us heading into work.
Yes.
So shout out to Nikki. Hopefully she's listening this week. Normally, how we do it, we're going to jump into our training recap.
Yeah, so as you can tell, we're switching things up a little bit this week. I did the intro. Mm-hmm. It's my first one.
There you go. How do you feel?
I was an intro virgin.
Oh.
Sounds really weird.
Wow.
It's an intro version. I'm
going to have to get the unclean
pop my
version.
Intro chair.
All right, let's go. Keep it moving. Keep moving forward. What did you do for training?
This is what happens when you change things up.
Yeah, what did you do training this week?
Well, I think both of us have just been really happy. We've been finally getting some consistent time on the bike, bike.
Mm-hmm.
And I've definitely kind of fallen not into a routine, but I like certain types of classes, certain days of the week.
Oh, really? Switch it up, according to the day?
Yeah. So like on weekends, I like a nice long endurance ride. And when I say long, I mean 45 minutes because usually during the week, all I can do is 30 minutes, but I'll do a nice long, steady, you know, sweat-inducing ride on the weekends, and then on the mornings of the weekdays, I like doing at least one that's just, like, theme music. You can just ride.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like doing one that's, like, a hit.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's more interval training.
Right. Do you do the upper body stuff, too? The upper
yes.
body ones?
Yep.
Yeah, those are really surprisingly good. People don't understand or don't
They're
realize,
really
I would say,
good.
That, I mean, just a 3-pound hand weights and just doing, you know,
lots of reps.
Yeah, lots of reps. I mean, it's muscle endurance. It really works on the muscle endurance of the upper body.
Yeah.
Obviously. You can do it, I guess. Do you pedal and do the exercises? Or you're like, you can't do two.
I hate falling behind too far on the leaderboard. And I'm like, the only way, like, the people that are blowing you away on the leaderboard, like, they just continue to bike throughout most of the arm session. So I refuse to stop.
Yeah.
But I'll usually go slow. I'm not doing like a 90 cadence or anything like that.
Yeah,
I'm
I feel like you might
30.
Fall off if you do. Even though you're clipped in, you gotta kind of lose your
wobble.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I like Steve Little.
Yes.
He's an endurance, one of the endurance, well, I mean, I'm sure he does a bunch of other classes.
He does like the climbs and the rock and like, he does some seriously intense classes as well as just like those, I don't know, I feel like they're a little bit more advanced, though any beginner can jump in on it because of the kind of instructor he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's really focuses on zone training, so like zone 2 is especially the endurance ones we do, which we've talked about on the podcast before, how beneficial that can be to your, you know, your cardiovascular health and really fat burning too. So yeah, I did one recently, and like you said, it's just, you're not going that fast, but by the end, you're covered in sweat. You didn't realize how hard you worked.
Yeah, and your legs feel like jello when you get off, and you're just like, whoa, I must have really worked something.
Yeah, so I like doing the Peloton and then being able to go to Tampa Strength and do my strength training, you know, kind of doing the meathead workouts there at Tampa Strength, even though there's way more stuff than just, you know, your traditional bodybuilding stuff there at Tampa Strength. So what about you? What other stuff besides the bike?
Well, I haven't really been, and I know I probably shouldn't even say this aloud, I haven't really been doing my yoga as much as I should be, but I have been doing my HIIT workouts, and, like, really right now, I just feel like for my training goals, those two, the spinning and the HIIT workouts, those are what my core focus is. Mm-hmm. So I've not really, I do like a variety of other things, you know, but I can't really go outside. I still have some issues with the old allergens out there right now. I'm still a little questionable, so I haven't really gone out for any long walks or runs or anything.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting because I enjoy yoga too. And I've kind of got into a routine. My morning routine incorporates a lot of stretching, which, you know, could and has yoga poses in it. Mm-hmm. So I just got into the routine of doing it essentially right when I get up. And doing, you know, some similar stuff to either downward, you know, incorporating the downward dog, which with the appropriate kind of alignments that you showed me about how to do it, you know, keeping my back in straight and instead of arching my back or anything. And then hangs too, you know, shoulder hangs for my shoulders, you know, to improve muscle endurance and also relieve shoulder pain.
Yeah.
So I've been doing that stuff, and I was thinking, you know, it's almost like you just got to do it, you know, into your routine somehow if you want to get that into it. But we're going to start doing some more yoga sessions. You're going to start leading me through some stuff. I'm going to be your guinea pig, so we're going to get that done. So, but and another thing that yoga kind of builds on, which we're always focused on and I always preach to my clients, is core strength, is building core strength and mobility.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've learned a lot more in my training about core. You know, I think a lot of people hear, like, oh, I'm going to do some core today, and they're thinking more like abs.
Right.
Like, they're thinking, like, the abs, like, six-pack in front of your, like, that people see. But there's a lot more to your core than just that. In fact, that's a very non-important muscle group in the grand scheme of things.
Well, it's interesting you mention that, because we were going to get into an article from one of the many magazines we get somehow. I don't know, like, we always get subscriptions to some interesting magazines, some
was,
we like. Did you subscribe to this one?
That I had to subscribe to when I did something else. Like, they, like, added it on. So, I think it's a good magazine.
No, it's good. It's, like, I think it's specifically women's health. But it says health.
Generally,
it's a little bit. The only thing that accused me to that is that
there's always a lady on the cover.
No, well, there's there's stuff about that's exclusively for ladies that happens to them. So and, articles about that. So, but I mean, that could be any health article, really, or health magazine. Anywho, there's an article in the magazine about kind of complaints people have about core training.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, like, the first one you just hit on, is, like, people do what they think are a lot of ab exercises, but they can't see their core.
Right.
And they go through a couple of these problems, you know, and a couple of solutions they suggest is do more total, either total body exercises and or total core exercises.
Yes.
And I know ones, which is your favorite, is really a total core exercise, really a total body exercise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's plank.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be one of those people that hated plank. Like, passionately hated freaking plank. Anytime I took a yoga class or I did anything where they're like, we're going to hold this for 2 minutes, I'm like, screw you. I hate you already. So that's been my attitude. I understand if that's other people's attitude. But, again, like, concentrated training on how you actually should be holding and focusing on your plank, I've been doing it wrong all these years, which is why it's been so damn uncomfortable for me, and it's caused me a lot of pain and it's been really difficult. So now knowing how to do it better, I actually love it.
Yeah.
And I think as far as core work goes, it is something you should do every single day, because this targets all of the core muscles that not just keep you upright, but also just kind of help ensure your body is moving the way it should.
Right. That's the big thing about the core, is having a strong core. It helps you be able to control your other extremities more efficiently, and upper body and lower body. So, yeah. You know, if you are ever on uneven surfaces or changing surfaces, having proper or strong core and a mobile core, that will help you be, you know, stay upright, more likely stay upright. So it's especially important for people as they get older. Because, you guys have seen the commercial of I've Fallen, I Can't Get Up.
Oh, gosh.
I think they still have that, right?
That was in a recent Grace and Frankie episode where they both fell.
Oh, they had the Life Alert bands? Yes. Yeah, Life Alert. You know, the funny things is, if you watch, early daytime television, between 11 and 1 o'clock, you will see those commercials that are still, that were shot 30, 40 years ago. If you're watching The Price is Right, there's going to be a Life Alert commercial somewhere.
Well, I think it's pretty much the same.
They did not update it. Wow.
Yeah.
But another thing this article talks about too, and you talked about this before we started going live, was the diet. How much diet affects the outward projection of your abs to a certain extent. Because people want the six-pack abs.
Yeah.
And they say, I do all these abs exercises. I'm constantly doing crunches and stuff. And they said they can't see their abs. And it really has a ton to do with diet.
Yeah, and I think especially for women, you have to be a hardcore athlete in order to see your abs. Women carry their fat in certain parts of their body, including, their abdomen. But it has a lot to do with just, your genetic makeup as well. And really, the only way that you're seeing the ab muscles, and is it abdominal rectus? Is that what
rectus abdominis?
Yeah, rectus abdominis. That is that, stack of muscles on your front. Women don't really have that. I mean, not to the extent guys do.
Right.
And I mean, I think in my generation, the epitome of the great abs was Britney Spears back in her heyday.
Oh, yeah.
And even her trainers and stuff said it is 90% diet and 10% doing just a crap ton of core work.
Yep.
Thousands of these exercises a day.
Right.
For a female, and Brittany did not have chiseled abs. She just had beautiful, sleek abs back
right.
in her dancer heyday.
Yeah. And then the suggestion they had for the melt, they call it the belly melting diet. Did I say that correctly?
Belly melting diet.
Kind of just. It says up your soluble. Wow. Take two. Up your soluble fiber. My tongue is twisted. Up your soluble fiber. I can't. Up your fruit, vegetables, and even some beans too. Soluble. There we go. Get more good fats. We always preach this things. Olive oil, olives themselves, avocados, and boost calcium intake, they said, which includes things like milk, yogurt, cheese, broccoli, and kale. So those are a couple of quick tips they have for getting a better diet. Just really, we preach this all the time. Just get rid of refined grains and processed foods, and you're going to see a difference. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, you're talking super clean diet.
Mm-hmm.
And, even in, bodybuilders, female bodybuilders and stuff, I follow one of them on YouTube. She's got some great abs when she cuts. But, you also have to cut a lot of the water in your body in order to, see the ab muscles.
Yeah.
So, you should know, it's not a sustainable look, really.
Yeah. What you see on Instagram isn't, what really happens in everyday life. So, and it's kind of interesting, too. Another problem people talk about, they say all their weight goes right to the middle.
Yeah.
Well, that has a lot to do with something we talked about in a past episode, is that there's different body types.
Yep.
You know, you hold your fat in different places, and you're shaped differently.
Genetics matter.
Yeah, exactly. So it's hard to combat those things, and sometimes you just can't get the abs, you know? But, you know, one way to fight it for sure is kind of, you know, change your diet.
Yeah.
Definitely.
For definitely. Yikes. You're like moving too fast or something. I don't know.
My mind's going too fast. All right. The last problem they were talking about or addressed in this article was about people having to be sitting down a lot for work.
Yeah.
And they talk about how that's people complain how they can't get their abs popping because they're sitting down all day. And they suggest something, you know, we suggest just to be overall generally more in shape is just walk. Get up, try to take breaks and walk around and be a little bit more upright. You know, the standing desks are huge now. I don't know about huge, but they're really a popular thing.
They're becoming a lot more popular, and I think a lot more workplaces are taking notice.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. It's interesting how, you know, just standing, people don't understand how standing is so beneficial to you opposed to sitting down, you know?
Yeah.
So it's those are a couple things that, you know, you might want to think about when you're doing so many ab exercises and you can't see them. There's some, you know, factors that you have to consider that mm-hmm. may be affecting why you can't see your abs. But work those core, work that abs. Whew. I'm going to go take a break. You take over. Goodness.
I'm just going to do the Jane Fonda, like, work it.
Work your abs, okay? Work your core, regardless if you can see them or not. Just keep building the strength in there. It's important.
Yeah, and if you really are, like, you've legitimately tried a lot of things and you've plateaued, you've kind of found that you can't identify where the problem is, that's when you want to go and seek, like, a professional, like a trainer, because they really will be able to help you narrow down what your obstacles are and how to overcome them.
Right, yeah. Just always seek out somebody with more knowledge than you to solve your problems.
Don't give up.
Yeah, don't get frustrated. We don't want you to get frustrated because kind of leads into our next topic we want to talk about is how to live longer. Yeah, because we want to live longer.
Okay.
You know, so I read an article this week, or I actually got it sent to my email, a blog I'm subscribed to from the Mark's Daily Apple, who is Mark Sisson. He's kind of the founder and creator of the Primal Blueprint, which is kind of more wholesome food diet plan and really focusing, kind of similar to paleo, but not exactly. And the art of blog that he sent this week was, you know, 5 ways to help you extend your lifespan. And obviously, you know, not worrying so much is definitely one of them. I don't think it's on this list, but that's definitely something you should you definitely should consider is, you know, try to reduce your anxiety however possible. It can definitely affect how long you live. So we're going to review how many? 5? Yes, 5. Boom. 5 ways. He suggests to help increase your lifespan. And, you know, he backs up a lot of this with scientific research, too. So we'll make sure to connect this or put the link for this in the show notes so you guys can check it out, too. All right, what's number one?
Live somewhere green or grow a bunch of plants and trees in your yard or your living space, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's super important, just be able to get out and experience nature. You know, and he backs it up. There was even research done about how people actually feel better just by looking at trees.
Yeah.
Their anxiety and their stress levels go down. They probably measure the cortisol levels, and it actually reduces just looking at a forest or even spending time in a forest.
You know what I find really nice about a forest or even just being, like, outside around plants? This is a weird. I like the sound.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the sound of the trees, like, whether they're rustling or creaking or whatever, there's something very soothing and, like, relaxing about that.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's in his research, but I definitely would say that it makes sense, because if you just go for a walk in a kind of natured area, it does seem to just chill you out.
I agree. And as someone that grew up on a farm and then also went hunting and fishing, being in the woods was just, I mean, that was 90% of it. I mean, that was just walking around in the woods, just being quiet, listening, and just absorbing kind of what the environment's giving you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so different than the hustle and bustle of city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, city is cool, it's nice, and it's fun, but it's a whole different aura, essentially, when you go out, I think, in nature.
Yeah, and I mean, for anybody who lives in a city, by all means, this is not an unattainable thing for you. Like, I do have to read, like, a lot of interior design and, like, home-related things for certain clients that I have. And one of the big trends in interiors is greenery, like, mm-hmm. flat-out living greenery. And having loads of plants in your living space, even if you live in a tiny studio apartment. So whether you live near a park or whether you're bringing nature inside, this whole idea of having greenery in your life, I think, is becoming a lot more popular,
yeah.
no matter where you live, basically.
Yeah, I mean, urban gardening
yeah.
and things becoming huge, and rightly so, because it's something not only do we need the food source, but it's also, like you said, there's benefits to just
good
being around nature. So, all right, number two, it is follow your life's purpose.
Word.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. I think people that kind of are able to find what their vocation is, their true vocation, according to them, obviously it's subjective, and pursue that for their, you know, as their career, I
mm-hmm.
think that's huge, you know,
yep.
and as someone that's trying to do that right now, it's definitely, you know, when you're working for yourself or you're working for something that you truly, really, I don't want to say
believe
I didn't,
in.
I never, well, that too, yeah, but it's, I'm not saying that all my other jobs I never didn't believe in it, I didn't believe in the company I worked for, but it's different.
It's not
definitely
a passion,
different.
Though.
If it's your
yeah.
passion, yeah, it's very different. Having a job and having, you know, a vocation, I think, are two different things.
Ooh.
So, I mean, obviously, Mark backs it up with some scientific research too, but it's kind of, I think, I shouldn't say self-explanatory because it's important to look at the research too, but it's
yeah.
really, it reduces, you know, you look forward to getting to that, to your work every day, and instead
yeah.
of, you know, dreading it and looking forward to the end of the week, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, I think this is like a satisfaction with life kind of thing, because so many of us do a job or make that a large portion of our life. If you are doing something you dislike or that you just don't feel strongly about, it's going to have a negative impact on you and just your outlook.
Mm-hmm.
So doing something you really believe in, something you're passionate about, makes total sense.
Yep, I agree. All right, number three? Number three?
Eat a lot of collagen.
Boom. We're already doing that.
Well, you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you use that collagen powder every once in a while? No?
Every very rare. I don't know. Like, I'm not a huge fan of the flavor.
It doesn't taste like anything.
It does, though.
You
like,
are so crazy.
No.
You're cray-cray.
You
got the super sniffer. That's why.
I know. I'm just, it has enough of a flavor that it's not something I want in all of. Like, if I make a smoothie, I don't necessarily want that in there.
You can taste it in a smoothie, too, with
yeah,
everything else.
It's
wow.
like an after flavor.
That's so cool. What we're talking about, I'm sorry, we're talking about something, assuming
He's
you guys know.
No
Jeez.
Way.
The protein powder I use, it is collagen hydrolate, or hydroslate. Sorry, I can't. We'll link to it on the podcast.
It's going
to
be in the
yes,
show notes.
It'll be on the show notes. I posted about it numerous times on social media. Oh, yeah. We did a taste test for it on a past episode. Duh. It's powdered beef collagen. And to me, it's unflavored, but it also has, you know, 2 tablespoons, has 12 grams of protein and under 100 calories and no fat, no carbohydrates. And that's what I use for my protein powder, essentially. But it also has the benefits of being collagen, which could help, you know, not only helps strengthen joints, like ligaments and joints and things like that, but
yeah.
also is a big thing for helping your skin, rejuvenate your skin.
Yep.
That's why twice last week, I had 2 different people on the same day. When I told them my age, they were stunned. Stunned!
It's Pat yourself on the back.
I know. They were thought mid-20s, and I told them, you know, hey, sorry.
You're 33. Like, yes.
Yes.
That is correct. But I am super smart.
Yeah, Great Lakes Collagen Hydrolate. Hydrolate. I think that's how it's called.
I feel like you're making up words.
Hydrolysate. Hydrolysate. Okay. We'll link to it in the show notes. Don't worry. Yeah. Okay, so number
four.
Gosh, why can't I keep track of this?
I have no idea. There's only five.
They're not numbered on the page. That's why. So something that we're also big fans of, getting really, really cold or really, really hot on a regular basis.
Uh-huh.
Extremes, environmental extremes. We've done the cryotherapy.
Yeah.
We've done the podcast, the cryotherapy. I haven't done an infrared sauna one, which I'm actually interested in because I wanted to see the benefits of that. But living in Florida, I used to work outside for a living.
Yeah.
I had the benefits of getting really, really hot. And I'm a firm believer that, you know, that time I spent working outside in the summer heat, even though I kept covered up to try to, you know, avoid any type of skin damage, I really believe that helped boost my immune system and boost the kind of the metabolic functions inside my body.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And where I'm reading a book right now called If It Doesn't Kill Us by Scott Carney, talking about basically kind of the Wim Hof method, but also basically the benefits of cold therapy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what type of benefits you can get by just, you know, going outside in the middle of winter without a shirt on. You know, he talks about running around and, you know, running a 5K without any clothes on. Shorts on.
And it kind of goes back to, I don't know, like, if you grew up in the South, then, you know, maybe you think this is insane. But when I was a kid, growing up in a very, you know, you have very cold winters up in New England, and then you have very hot summers. There's something about, like, as a kid, you love running outside without a coat on. Like, it could be the last thing you really care about. And granted, you're not supposed to be out there for extended periods of time. That's when your parents, like, bring you back inside and say, hey, you lunatic, come here and put on some proper attire. But, like, you just love to race out there and experience that extreme temperature. Like, the whole thing is part of the experience. Like, the first snow, the first freezing cold day.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about that. And even, like, on a hot summer day, you know, you didn't ever hesitate to go out and get really hot.
Right. No, I think what you get that endorphin rush.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever extreme it is. Yeah, that's those feel-good chemicals are going in your brain.
Unafraid, as a child, you do these things.
Yeah, and it's even, you can not do it for small periods of time, but as you progress, your body gets a little bit more acclimated and you can get a little bit longer either in the cold or the hot situation. That's why I love ice baths.
Yeah.
I've done the cryotherapy, but, you know, I'm a huge fan. I'm a big believer in this, you know. Just giving a little, you know, testing yourself, making your body, you know, unfortunately, you know, nowadays we have a lot of things to try to avoid getting uncomfortable. But every, you know, incorporating things into your daily life that make you uncomfortable maybe help you live longer.
Well,
that's what this is saying. Sure.
They do say that, like, at the end of your shower each day,
oh, yeah,
you should make it as cold as you possibly can, the water, not just because it makes your hair shiny, but because it's just supposed to be good for you.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm a huge believer in that, and I think if you want a surefire way to help you wake up in the morning a little bit more, go a little cold shower.
Oh, yeah.
It'll definitely help you. All right. Last but not least,
this
my favorite one.
Your favorite, and this is my favorite, too.
Oh, it says, I'm going to let you say it. You say it. You say it.
I'm getting finger guns. Keep your spouse as healthy as you are.
Boom.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's, can I get a hallelujah?
I mean, it makes complete sense.
Yeah.
You know, if it, your partner, your life partner, if they are, you know, if it's obviously there some health situations you can't avoid.
Right.
But the things that we can avoid, which we're finding out more and more, has to do with diet or environmental things that we can avoid or we can mitigate. Helping each other stay healthy, I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it makes not only a healthier, you know, obviously a healthier marriage, but in both senses of the word, you know, you're both actually healthy, but your relationship's healthier.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of, I think, studies and everything that talk about how, you know, either the mortality of a spouse or, you know, a severe illness can affect both people.
Yeah.
Just in one, it's actually going to cause deterioration in both.
Right.
So it makes just so much sense. I mean, you think about how all the benefits of being healthy and staying healthy and focusing on that, if you can both do it, then that's going to be happier. What's the saying? Happy wife, happy life.
So yeah. It's
happier wife and husband or whatever, and much happier life.
Wow. Okay.
I had something and then it disappeared.
We'll fix it in post. We'll fix it.
I don't remember.
No, but I think it's huge. You know, you basically, your significant other is your support system.
Yes.
I mean, they're your like you say, your cheerleader, you know? Guys, you can be a cheerleader too. You know, you don't have to tell all your buddies, but it's the main way to help you encourage, you know, proper diet or proper exercise. I mean, that's why I think this podcast is huge. I'm glad you guys enjoy listening to it, but we enjoy doing it just because it's our time to talk about health and fitness on a daily basis. Yes. Not a daily basis, weekly basis, sometimes daily. But yeah, that's why we love doing it, and it's not only, I mean, we found the benefits of how we're both, you know, I think, kind of in the best shapes of our lives, you know, and if one of us falls off, we can quickly realize that, hey, we need to do this to turn around. The other person helps us realize and helps us on our way.
Well, I think having both people on the same page, too, and something that we've been lucky enough to have throughout our relationship, really. Is that when one of us does, you know, get sick or have a health issue, because of that shared mentality, recovery is, I mean, I don't know if it's easier, but it just seems better overall, because you know that it's this shared passion and belief that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So struggling with it alone, not really something you have to worry about. And you're both on the same page, so that your recovery it seems better.
Easier. Yeah, I agree. You know, two heads are better than one, as I always say. Yeah. I always say that, guys. All right. So that was the list that Mark gave, and we'll make sure to put a link so you guys can read more about it. He links to several other, you know, of those five topics, he links to some research associated with them. So check that out, and check us out. On social media, everywhere we are, you know, I'm really big into Instagram stories now.
I know, which is like a miracle. I never thought I'd see the day.
Well, it's because I'm not a Snapchat fan.
I know.
Because I like Instagram, and then the Instagram stories is right on there. Boom. Killing two birds, one stone.
I'm not criticizing. I'm saying it's great. So, yeah, you can get all the information on where to follow us online and just out and about. Pretty much in the outro, but don't be a stranger.
Mm-hmm. You can always email us also. All that will be, like Shannon said, in the outro. And give us that rating and review in iTunes, guys. That really helps us out, reach a broader audience, and that's what we want to do with this podcast.
Yeah.
All right?
Let us know what you're thinking about and what's on your minds, too, for future episodes. It's not a one-way street.
Yep.
Give us ideas.
We actually got an interview podcast coming to you guys next week, so stay tuned for that. We'll be releasing a little nuggets leading up to that for you guys to know who we're talking to. So, anything else?
That is it.
All right. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We'll check you next time.
Bye.
If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks.
Hey! Stop it.
She's been a real bitch to the cat today. I don't know why.
She's being a bitch in general.
Go.
Stop it. You ruined his outro.
Go away now.